תפילת החברים. בורא יקר ואהוב.
The prayer of the friends. Dear and beloved Creator, thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the opportunity to connect in the Ten. Give us constant joy with the right intention and the strength to be incorporated in the friends. We ask to understand that all the corruptions that are revealed between us are necessary in order to turn to you in prayer as one man in one heart. Help us see the greatness of the friends and make room for you between us, so that we will give you contentment and make you happy. Yes, we see how much this introduction is an introduction that is made of many parts and many topics. Bala Sulam here touches almost everything. He even gave us here a very short overview of the construction of the worlds, the structure of the worlds, and before that, a scientific and philosophical review. He touched almost everything, and now he's entering also a part in order to explain to us a little bit of history about the history and the essence of the Book of Zohar itself. So let's see. Dudi, please.
So we're reading item 59 in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. All those who know the ins and outs of the Book of Zohar, meaning understand what is written in it, unanimously agree that the Zohar was written by the godly Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Only some of those who are far from this wisdom doubt this pedigree and tend to say, relying on fabricated tales of opposers of this wisdom, that its author is the Kabbalist Rabbi Moshe de Leon or others of his time.
Yes, indeed there's been a dispute about this for thousands of years, you might say, well, at least hundreds of years, that has been going on since the Middle Ages and until now, that the Book of Zohar that was revealed the last time during the Middle Ages, in the days of Rabbi Moshe de Leon, which is already the 12th century, so they started to ascribe the Book of Zohar to him, even though certainly it couldn't be. With all due respect to him, he was a great Kabbalist, and he understood, and he was in the wisdom of Kabbalah, but nevertheless not on the same level as the Book of Zohar needs to be, requires. As the one who wrote the Book of Zohar, who shaped it, designed it, has to be. And therefore, Bala Sulam says that those who understand the wisdom of Kabbalah, they also realize that such a book can be written by no less than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Yes?
Item 60. As for me, since the day I have been endowed by the light of the Creator with a glance into this holy book, it has not crossed my mind to question its origin, for the simple reason that the content of the book brings to my heart the merit of the Tana Rashbi far more than all other Tanaim. And if I were to clearly see that its author is some other name, such as Rabbi Moshe de Leon, then I would praise the merit of Rabbi Moshe de Leon more than all the Tanaim, including Rashbi. Indeed, judging by the depth of the wisdom in the book, if I were to clearly find that its composer is one of the 48 prophets, I would consider it much more acceptable than to relate it to one of the Tanaim. Moreover, if I were to find that Moses himself receded from the Creator himself on Mount Sinai, then my mind would really be at peace, for such a composition is worthy of him. Hence, since I have been blessed with compiling a sufficient commentary that enables every examiner to acquire some understanding of what is written in the book, I think I am completely excused from further toil in the examination for any person who is knowledgeable in the Zohar will now settle for no less than the Tana Rashbi as its composer.
כן.
Well, in short, what Balasuram writes is that it cannot be that the book of Zohar was written by anyone who is on a lesser degree than Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And you cannot ascribe the book of Zohar to Rabbi Moshe de Leon or those who were before him or after him. It's not according to the same height, with all due respect to those Kabbalists, but he says that it could be no less than Rashbi. That's the one who wrote the book of Zohar. And he says that if we would know that it was written by one of the Tanaim, sages from the time of the Mishnah, or one of the prophets, or in general, from even Moshe himself, Moses, then we would be even more certain than the book of Zohar comes from the inner source. And therefore, he says, ascribing the book of Zohar to Rashbi is something that should be clear to everyone.
Good
morning, Rav. I would like to ask, the attainment of the book of Zohar, what does it belong to exactly? What are we capable of reading this book? Or is it talking about attainment that is...
We still cannot quite read the book of Zohar in order to understand it, because we don't yet have vessels of bestowal, vessels of about reason. We're only coming closer to them, only to the extent that one begins to feel what he is reading in vessels of faith about reason, then for him it opens up. That's it. Then he understands that this is not just about the stories, but that this speaks of discernments about the upper providence and guidance, meaning about the upper world.
French.
Que signifie que Moïse a reçu du Créateur lui-même? Merci.
Does this mean that Moses received from the Creator himself? What does it mean?
What was revealed to Moses, it's considered that it was revealed to him, that the Torah was revealed to him. This means that he started to discover within himself those inner discernments about reality with the upper force, that by his connection with the Creator, this is how he passed his revelations, his attainments to the people, to those that were around him. These are ordinary things, just like we expect that we will discover it by rising to the forces of faith above reason, to the forces of bestowal. By this we discover the reality that exists in the force of bestowal, and about that later on we can write and teach.
Item 61. Accordingly, the question arises, why was the Zohar not revealed to the early generations, whose merit was undoubtedly greater than the latter ones, and who were more worthy of it? We must also ask, why was the commentary on the book of Zohar not revealed before the time of the Ari and not to the Kabbalists that preceded him? And the most perplexing question, why were the commentaries on the words of the Ari and on the words of the Zohar not revealed since the days of the Ari through our generation? The question is, is the generation worthy? The answer is that during the 6,000 years of the world's existence is like one partsuf divided into three thirds, Rosh, Toch, and Sof, meaning Chabad, Chagat, Nehi. This is what our sages wrote. 2 millennia of Tohu, of chaos, 2 millennia of Torah, and 2 millennia of the days of the Messiah. In the first 2 millennia, considered Rosh and Chabad, the lights were very small. They were regarded as Rosh without a guf, having only lights of nefesh. This is because there is an inverse relation between lights and vessels, because in the kelim, in the vessels, the rule is that the first vessels grow first in each partsuf. And in the lights, it is the opposite. The smaller lights dress in the partsuf first. Thus, as long as only the upper parts are in the vessels, meaning the vessels of Chabad, only lights of nefesh dress there, which are the smallest lights. This is why it is written about the first 2 millennia that they are regarded as tohu, chaos. And in the second 2 millennia of the world, which are vessels of chagat, the light of ruach descended and clothed the world, which is considered the Torah. This is why it is said about the 2 middle millennia that they are Torah. And the last 2 millennia are vessels of Nehim. Therefore, at that time, the light of Neshama dresses in the world, which is the greater light. Hence, these are the days of the Messiah.
Yes. Well, in the meantime, there are no questions. So let's continue reading.
This is also the conduct in each particular partsuf, in its vessels of Chabad Chagat, through its chazeh, the lights are covered and do not begin to shine, disclosed chasadim. meaning that the revelation of the illumination of the upper Chochmah occurs only from the Chazed down, meaning in its name.
In the lower half of the Parzuf.
This is the reason that before the vessels of Nehim began to show in the Parzuf of the world, which are the last two millennia, the wisdom of the Zohar in general and the wisdom of Kabbalah in particular were hidden from the world. But during the time of the Ari, when the time of the completion of the vessels below the Chazeh had drawn nearer, closer, the light of the upper Chochmah was revealed in the world through the soul of the godly Rabbi Isaac Luria, the Ari, who was ready to receive that great light. Hence, he revealed the essentials in the Book of Zohar and in the wisdom of Kabbalah until he overshadowed all his predecessors. Yet since these vessels were not yet completed, since he passed away in 1572, the world was not yet worthy of discovering his words. And his words were known only to a chosen few who were not permitted to tell them to the world. And now, in our generation, since we are nearing the end of the last two millennia, we were given permission to reveal his words and the words of the Zohar in the world to a great extent. Thus, from our generation onward, the words of the Zohar will become increasingly revealed in the world until the full measure is revealed by the will of the Creator.
Rav, how do we know that we are the last part of the vessels, the deepest, the more egoistic one? Why are we fit?
We don't know that yet. Kabbalists tell us that. We don't know it ourselves. To what do we belong? Because for that, we need to see the whole of reality and where we are relative to the whole of reality. And only the great Kabbalists who are capable of attaining this whole picture of feeling the whole of reality and where we are, they tell us where we are. It's like with a baby. You take it on your hands. It has no idea where it is. But rather, you give it all the pieces of knowledge and all the facts about life. It's the same with us, because we are on the hands of the Kabbalists, so they gradually explain to us where we are.
Rav, is that the reason why Bala Sulam says that after the Ari, we are able to publish to the whole world the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Yes. This is what he says in all of his manuscripts. In all of his manuscripts, he says that the time has come for us when we can disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah without any limitations and to everyone, to all the people in the world. And we have to actualize it.
Good morning, Tiro and friends. The question is, what forbids or allows them to tell? Thank you.
Kabbalists throughout the generations are in connection with the upper force and are with it in an exchange, meaning they feel the upper providence, the upper system, in what manner it bestows through them to all of humanity. Therefore, they are responsible for that connection. And therefore, more or less, they open this connection for the benefit of the people that will come close to the Creator.
No. Asia.
Asia.
Good
morning, everyone. Thank you, Rav. Did Rabbi Shimon and the friends make all the corrections and then they locked them inside of the book of Zohar?
All the corrections they can't do because we haven't done all the corrections yet. And there are generations after us, maybe. Although we can already be the last generation. But anyway, that's how we need to understand that until, as long as there are generations, as long as there are people in our world, that we can reveal reality and bring it closer to dvikut, adhesion with the Creator, then we have what to do, and we need to raise them all to the height of the Creator.
You said that, well, you would like to know how come there are no questions. So subjectively, I'll try to say that when we start to read Kabbalistic texts, I'm like not conscious. I can't find myself. I don't know how to receive these texts in order to make sense out of it.
You need to read more and then you'll get used to it. It's a special language that you need to learn. I understand you. It's hard. But we don't have a choice. We must acquire this profession to connect to the sources, to the texts, the Kabbalistic texts, because this is actually the most important thing in life. Through this, we will know how to discover the one upper force that operates on everyone, and that we're all
Why is it so relevant of who wrote the book of Zohar? The sage himself did not put his name on the book. So why are we trying to do that?
It's very important because so that all kinds of so-called wise guys, you know, in parentheses, wise people, will jump up and add with their foolishness additions to the wisdom of Kabbalah. We can see that many books are seemingly published under the name the wisdom of Kabbalah. They take sources, even from the sources of Bala Sulam, and begin to write commentaries about him and additions and addendums that are clearly with no attainment on the degree that these words are supposed to be, which Bala Sulam writes. Also Rabash writes about this, that Bala Sulam did not write one word but from the internality of its attainment. And here there are people that are giving an interpretation to the writings of Bala Sulam and an interpretation to the study of the Ten Sefirot and such addendums, annexes that as if they're at the height of scrutiny like Bala Sulam. Because less than that, there's no point in even adding something. Therefore, there's a problem here. It's irresponsibility and great confusion that they can explain and pass on to others.
Здравствуйте, Рав. Расскажите, вот для чего люди, которые занимаются каббалой,
do we, people who study Kabbalah in general, why should we even know about it? About these historical events in some chronological time? It is so confusing and complicated. You yourself say that this history was distorted and the chronology doesn't also follow the book. Why should we even know about all of this?
Throughout the years that we're studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, it becomes clearer and clearer to us how the world was created, how the Creator manages us, through what the writings of the Kabbalists are being revealed, who all together pass on to us this knowledge of the creation of the world, the construction of the world, and the correction of the world. Therefore, these things were very connected. And then we later discover that all of this is actually one system. And the way it's concealed and the way it's revealed and how we understand and what's happening in our world throughout history, all of this is one system. And all together, it's all connected to it, to one another. And this brings us the general picture. We begin to feel that this is what we have. And in this picture, there's also us and the Creator and the Zohar and everything you'll say. Patiently. We will hear, and later you will see how this adds to the whole form of the world.
Turkey 4.
Turkey 4.
Good morning, Rav. While I'm listening to you, I had a question that why did I come in this generation? Or what is in my root that connects me to Bnei Baruch, to you especially?
You came in all your previous incarnations to a state in which already in this generation, in this incarnation, the time that you came to the degree of a person in this world, you have an opportunity to reach a spiritual Adam, a spiritual attainment, meaning to rise to the upper system and incorporate in the eternality and perfection of nature. Yes, that's what you have come to. And therefore, you came to us and you're learning how to implement it.
A question from PT6. Why doesn't the introduction of the Book of Zohar speak directly about the content of the Book of Zohar? The introduction engages in many topics, it encompasses many angles. Why is it like that, and why? How does that form an introduction to the Book of Zohar?
I don't know. There's the author who wrote the commentary to the Book of Zohar, the Sulam commentary. He wrote the introduction to his commentary, and it's up to him how he will tell to us this way. That's it. Therefore, I don't get into that. I learn what he writes. From all the introductions and his writings, there's a certain impression in me, a general impression of what he wanted from us, what he wanted to tell us, to share with us, to advance to us, as to what. And it's not necessarily in one introduction that he can say that. He has a certain line of his own, and he does that, and he doesn't take into consideration our understanding of what needs to be in the introduction. No? Brother, that's his actual approach. Accept the approach, drink it, read it. We really need to swallow it, to chew it, to learn, but to receive. And I don't think that we need to or can even critique it whatsoever. We are so small that we cannot understand why he writes this way or another. Moreover, to already critique him and complaints and scrutinies. It's still early. It's truly a joke.
To a sage's root. From these holy words, we can understand the greatness of the soul of my father and teacher, and his degree while saying them. He has told me several times that he has never said words of Torah without first attaining the words of Torah from inside the degree.
Yes, that's the attainment of Bala Sulam, where before he attains something, he doesn't consider what he thinks, but rather only the attainment, meaning when he opens himself and receives a true, through the upper providence, the revelation of the Creator, then that is something he can write about and talk about, not from himself, but rather what the Creator talks in him. Let's hope that we too will reach that and then understand the difference between wisdom and attainment. Where in wisdom, everyone can be wise, but in attainment, only those with attainment. Okay? Good, we have internet. Yes?
Yes, Rav. Chris from UK1 is asking, how will we be able to connect to the authors of the Zohar while we read it?
We need to learn. For the time being, we're learning the materials that are around the Book of Zohar. We will approach the Book of Zohar. I think that some have already learned this and went through maybe even the whole parts. Yes? And we will get there. We will get there. Don't think that reading in the Book of Zohar already opens your eyes. No. It's a virtue in addition to all the work that we need to do. If we invest forces in connection between us, then with that, here too, it's worth it for us to open this Book of Zohar. Okay?
Eitan from Center One is asking, throughout history, Kabbalists wrote books, but nobody almost studied while they were written, except for a few students. Why is it always revealed before its time?
There's great confusion, a big mess and disorder in everything that happens in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Creator is the general system of the whole world, of all the worlds. And they're all built according to clear laws, rules, and are revealed persistently one after another. That's on one hand. On the other hand, when we are in this whole system, which is so precise to the very last detail, we are not in a clear, well-defined path that we know every moment how we're advancing, what we do, and what we're about to reveal, but rather truly something happens to us, yes? We're very confused. All of this happens only in order to give us the possibility to leave everything and to just rise to the degree of faith. Just to the degree of faith above reason. And nothing will work out for us or connect for us according to our intellect, according to blocks or points or whatever else we want. No. Only one thing. When we leave everything and start to build the system in us, in faith above reason. Meaning, first of all, the degree of Bina, and after it, we join all the rest of our desires.
Miguel from Latin 7 is asking, how should we reach the light of Nefesh in order to understand or attain the Book of Zohar? How do we do it in the 10?
When the 10 is engaged in mutual annulment towards each other, then it achieves a desire to bestow, a unique small desire from which it can turn to the Creator and then ask to increase the desire to bestow. And so, further and further and further to advance that way.
Joseph from San Francisco is asking, how can we prepare the world to open the Book of Zohar? Because it depends on them believing in what the sages wrote, that it will work on a person in a certain way.
We have to disseminate the greatness of the Book of Zohar and the wisdom of Kabbalah in general, and how it can help humanity avert all of the troubles that we're facing. We are in a path of development called in due time, which means by blows, from the littlest things to the biggest things. And we're advancing towards something that might unfortunately appear as a huge blow. So Kabbalists say we can transform this path of suffering to a good path from in due time to hastening time. That is, if we want to rush the times. And that means that we are pulling ourselves, advancing ourselves towards the state of connection between us. And according to the connection between us, the Creator will be revealed as well. To the extent that our world is still engaged in separation for now, to the point of wars, then of course that's still far from the tendency that needs to arise in humanity. Well, let's hope we can still change the
reading from item 155. The title is Explaining the Essence of the Worlds.
Yes, this is very important, this action of the ascent of the worlds, because in the place where each is, it can't correct anything. Only by rising above its degree, above its level, becoming included in the upper one, as we see that a mother takes the baby and brings it closer to herself, to her breast, and allows the baby to suckle. And that's how everything works in both spirituality and corporeality, that only by rising to a higher degree we can receive strength, power to correct ourselves, and then go down to our degree and continue corrections, but on our degree. But to receive the strength, the force, that's doable only when we are included in the upper one, when we rise to the upper one. That's why this part here about the clarification of the ascent of the world is very important to the You can send questions live.
Yeah, we talked about it, and we see how this is our work. That we'll need to understand in a very clear way that except for prayer, nothing can help us. So let's concentrate on this. Each one will feel himself that he is responsible for everybody and that he's praying for everyone when he prays, for all our community as one big ten and the private tens inside it and all of humanity. is included in this. Let's raise all our prayers from all of us together to the Creator, because that's what our future depends on. No matter what, only on that. We study, we're smart, we know all the books, but all in all, we're learning all these things in order to reach a deficiency, the right deficiency, to connect to the Creator, and to demand of Him and ask of Him to ascend to His degree, to adhere to Him. That's it. Like we learned now in the second restriction, everything depends on the subjugation towards the Upper One. That the Upper One will take us on His hands and raise us to Him, and from that height we'll be able to see reality and adhere to the Upper One. Please, Dudi.
Excerpt number 9, Bala Sulam
writes, we should learn this trade before we enter the king's palace, meaning muster power and might to stand as pillar of iron until we elicit the desire from the Creator. As it is written, take no rest. Although the Creator seems silent and unresponsive, let it not cross your minds to be silent too. Take no rest. This is not what the Creator intended by His silence, but rather to give you power to stand afterward in the king's palace when you have no blemish. This is why, and give Him no rest.
Yeah,
he says beautiful words, take no rest, because the Creator does this to give you power afterwards. What does it mean, not to not keep quiet, to act? What does it mean?
Act in all your might.
What does it mean to act with all your might?
Everything you can do, everything in your powers to do, do it.
You said we have to reach the right deficiency for the Creator to hear us.
Right.
What is that correct deficiency?
That only the Creator can do it, and He'll do it for sure. The moment you can activate your desire correctly.
Right, and that's my question. How can you reach the right deficiency? What does it mean?
That's called that you really yearn for the help of the Creator.
How can we come to that longing is what I'm asking.
Each and every day, tell yourself that today I'm reaching a state that I'm convincing the Creator to help me. And that's how it should be from day to day, more and more, not to break.
No.
I have to feel bad to reach this deficiency?
It depends what you mean bad.
To feel bad, to feel pressure, suffering, what?
We need to develop a deficiency that is more and more correct. That's whatever I didn't gain yesterday in some lottery or something, and I didn't win the $1 million, so that could be a deficiency too. But we need to work on the right deficiency.
So everything we see in the world today, all the troubles we see, it's created by for us to reach such a deficiency, to pray to Him, that's the problem?
No.
No?
No, we all want to reach a state that upon all these things, we will want to give contentment to the Creator. From praying for the whole. Yes, Dudi.
You said before we also have to have a prayer towards the world, humanity. We also learn about the prayer of filling everyone in the world, please, and a prayer for the friends. How to organize all of that? It opens up more and more in the 10. We have to aim high. What?
Everything concentrates on one point, central point, that he wants to aim towards the Creator and specifically give him contentment. And all other problems and trouble he feels on more external circles is so he can aim his deficiency to the Creator in order to cause pleasures to the Creator, in order to pray for him, in order to see in all these things that are being revealed in the world, in the group, and in himself, that it's all revealed only in order to aim him to bestow to the Creator.
But when we approach, even now, just reading the excerpt and raising a prayer together, what do we aim for?
We aim all in all how to give contentment.
Through which circle, that is?
Through the 10? No more or less, only the 10.
Rav, many times we heard and read as the yearning is the face itself. Can you explain this more?
Yearning for the Creator comes from him shining a special illumination on a person, and a person feels that he yearns for him. So what are you asking about that? The yearning is a result. A person thinks that he yearns. No, the Creator is the first. He awakens the yearning in a person.
My question is that, does the face comes as a result of the yearning, or the yearning is the result, the face itself? This is my question.
No, the face is a result of the yearning. From the Creator shining, a person starts discovering the yearning for the Creator. That's called his face. Bulgaria.
So yearning is not the result this way.
Yearning is a result of the Creator illuminating. It's a result. The Creator is always first. I was first. That's what it says. Anywhere. Because even in the biggest vessel, nothing can feel or move if the Creator didn't awaken it, doesn't shake it up.
Rav, признак за какво е, че не успявам да се моля за другарите?
The fact that I can't pray for the friends, what does that indicate?
Симан ле?
A sign for? To indicate what? That he can't pray?
Yeah, to pray for the friends.
Only to the friends or the Creator too? Anyway, it means you're not thinking about it enough. You need to think what I need to do in order to reach revelation in the Creator. Adhesion to the Creator I can only reach through my request. I have nothing else to do towards the upper force, only by request. Only requesting. And if I can't do anything, I have to pray to the Creator. Why doesn't he give it to me? Give me a deficiency to ask. Why do I not know, I not feel who I can turn to? And so on and so on. In our mind, can we write it down before us on our page? Can we? And then read it a few times a day? That's how we start. And afterwards, we reach a desire and a prayer from the bottom of the heart. And that's how it'll be.
Beseder.
Okay.
Tov. Piti arba.
Piti four.
Probably if you can explain, it's still not clear. What does it mean that the Creator is silent? Well, what is that silence?
The Creator isn't silent. But if we can't awaken Him, so we can hear. That's it. That's a problem in us and not in Him. He isn't proud or He isn't... doesn't do it on purpose that he's quiet. That's what's written. Make your desires his desire. If you work on equivalence of desires, of deficiencies between the Creator's and yours, then you'll discover that he's always ready and prepared. Next duty, yes.
If I can ask another question, you said longing is a result, that the Creator is first, He awakens it, but what precedes the longing? What have we done that awakened the longing?
The Creator is still the first.
Okay, and one step before, where is us? Where are we?
We are always the result. It never starts from us that I initiate anything. The Creator is always the one initiating. I am first and I am last. And what it seems to us that we are first, it's all because of lack of revelation.
And where are we? He initiates, he awakens, he develops our yearning. Where do we merge him with him and get in there?
By you adding from yourself.
What else do I have to add?
That the awakening he awakens in you will be yours.
What does it mean that it will be mine?
That you'll feel that you belong to that deficiency.
And what does it mean to add of myself? What am I adding here?
Inspiration, excitement, connection, addition.
And Bala Sulam, letter 34. We rush our pleas above, knock by knock, tirelessly, endlessly, and do not weaken at all when He does not answer us. We believe He hears our prayer, but waits for a time when we have the kelim, to receive the faithful bounty. And then we will receive a reply to each and every prayer at once, since the hand of the Lord will not be short, God forbid.
Again,
quote number 10, we rush our pleas above, knock by knock, tirelessly, endlessly, and do not weaken at all when He does not answer us. We believe He hears our prayer, but waits for a time when we have the kelim, the vessels, to receive the faithful bounty. And then we will receive a reply to each and every prayer at once, since the hand of the Lord will not be short, God forbid.
No questions. Ita 4.
Rav, it's written, the Creator is the first and the last one. So what's for us is just the efforts, right, to connect?
Levakesh.
To ask. And to connect is already a condition for the right request. We need to ask in order to ask correctly in the right forces, and that's how we connect.
PT 31.
Rav,
Rav, it says that the answering of the prayer is only happens when there's a vessel. Isn't the prayer itself a vessel?
Yes. If the prayer is complete, you don't need anything else that includes everything in it.
Woman.
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 Women.
שאלה מפיטי 38.
Question from PT 38. How do we convince the Creator to help us?
אני חושב נשים צריכות לדעת.
I think the women should know that better than the men.
סבלנות ו.
They have patience.
אומנות.
And an art.
לדרוש מה שהם רוצות.
To demand what they want and receive.
You
have to be persistent, you have to have nerve and correct, ask correctly on the right states especially. It's a profession. How to go and ask and demand. But it justifies the existence of the whole vessel.
Hala.
Next.
מפתח תקווה. כל יסוד העבודה שלנו הוא לעשות
מפתח תקווה. Our whole foundation of our work is to bring contentment to the Creator. What to do if we have no such lack? How to attain it?
אני לא יכול להגיד.
I can't say it's...
תדברו זה עם זה.
Just speak about it between you. Try and share advice, get inspired by one another. Try and, in this conversation between you, to annul the pride and to still incorporate between you. And you'll see how suddenly a warm heart opens and yearns for the Creator. Just even a bit to annul our ego. And we'll already feel how it can all be aimed towards the Creator. And there's no more than prayer. All this wisdom we're learning, that after prayer, we'll advance and attain it practically. But actually, everything comes from the right prayer. The problem is the right prayer. Otherwise, the whole world for a long time would already go into spirituality. And we see that only individuals in every generation, it's because reaching the right prayer and receiving an answer, a response, that's not simple. That's why let's scrutinize exactly how to ask from the Creator. That's an art.
Ken.
Yes.
Rav Mota Siriyan Kotvot Shalot Kashemod.
Rav, they write from the same tent. They're asking, it's very hard to turn to the Creator. Like you described yesterday, the baby that exerts in suckling and loses strength. How do you get strength to turn to the Creator if it's also hard to see an example for a prayer from the friends?
There is no such thing that it's difficult from the friends. Or it's difficult, but it's possible. That's the only thing possible. No choice. You want to receive it? Please. There's only one way. To incorporate in the tent, and from them you get a desire and forces and a tendency to connect to the Creator. Only that way, ladies. I'm sorry, but we don't have any other way. Let's make an effort and break through the machsom, the barrier. Let's break the wall between us and the Creator and see how much He's helping us, how He's opening our hands. He wants to receive everybody and hug everybody and everything.